Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you again this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us once again at the Christian Worldview show. We are here in Greenville, South Carolina, where it's currently 62 degrees, 61 degrees in Spartanburg, 60 degrees in Anderson, looking for a high in the upper 70s to low 80s in the upstate of South Carolina today. So another beautiful day as we make our way out. Well, we have it with us in the studio again, our fabulous guest host today, Rippin' Richie Williams. We're glad you've joined us again, Richie. Hope you had a good night's sleep and are ready for another roaring day at Christian Worldview.
I'm ready to go, man. Let's do this thing.
Okay. All right. We'll go ahead and do this thing. Before we do, though, I want to give just a quick couple announcements here. First of all, are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you don't have sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30, the first Wednesday of the month at the Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from the Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us up for the meeting at 7 p.m. for the fourth Wednesday of the month at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thanks for you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And also, on Tuesday, May 10th, 2005, that's today, by the way, in case you didn't check your calendar, a special Confederate Memorial Day ceremony will be conducted on the campus of Clemson University. Please tell everyone you can come out in observance of this day to honor our Confederate ancestors who paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of their families and their beloved Southland. Service is being held today at 10 a.m. at Clemson. Hope you can make it there if you happen to be in the Clemson area this morning. Well, Richie, what have we got on the agenda today? Any interesting stories we always have interesting stories here on Christian Worldview, but you must have something interesting we could talk about.
You know what important anniversary is today?
Important anniversary. Let's see, we're past Cinco de Mayo, so it can't be the Mexican Independence Day. Stonewall Jackson died today.
That's it?
That's right. We knew that because we announced it on Christian Worldview about 9 days ago after he was wounded. It was a day, I think May 2nd was the day he was wounded.
We watched the documentary on Jackson and Lee, the DVD. I think you've seen that. We watched that last night, and then they mentioned it, and I said, hey, that's tomorrow.
That's a great DVD, isn't it? What's the I've forgotten the title of that DVD, that little documentary.
Is it Warriors of Honor?
It might have been Warriors of Honor. If you're interested in getting that video, I think if you go to the policyofliberty.net homepage and click on the production link, you can ask the producer to get in touch with you about how you can acquire a copy. I'm not sure how much they cost, but it's a great documentary on both the lives of both Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee.
Yeah, I think ours was $20, I believe, and we bought one and got the second at half price.
Man,
so we've got a second one to give as a gift at some point in the future.
I wonder what the third one costs. Maybe it's only a quarter price if that continues down.
I don't know.
Be interesting. Know. Maybe if you offer him $5 for the third one and $2.50. I'm just thinking more like an economist. We just finished some homeschool economics this morning. We always try to calculate average and marginal costs and all these kinds of things. So, any rate, just came into my mind after been indulging this morning in economic theory. Well, anyway, what kind of stories are we looking at today? Anything of great interest?
The stuff we didn't cover yesterday. What do you want to bring up?
Well, we were thinking about talking about the Pledge of Allegiance at some point. That's an interesting topic. Any listeners want to talk about the Pledge of Allegiance? You know, the Institute on the Constitution occurred last night. I had a chance to go. I didn't have a full visit because I had some other commitments in the evening. But the Institute on the Constitution is at South Point Baptist Church. That's 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina, every Monday night. If you want information or to register for this, call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443. That's 864 269-1443. It's well worth going to. The sixth meeting will be a week from last night or next Monday there in Pelzer, South Carolina. It's well worth attending. There's a good crowd that usually comes out, and it's a nice time to talk about the political philosophy of the Founding Fathers and how we can actually attempt to regain constitutional government here in America. Well, one of the topics, and I think it was 2 weeks ago that was brought up there at the Institute of the Constitution, was the Pledge of Allegiance. Should we pledge allegiance to the flag as Christians? And there were people on both sides of the issue. I was on the side that said, look, you can't really, as a Christian, pledge allegiance to anything but to Jesus Christ and to his church or the kingdom of God.
Well, you're a commie pico.
Yes, that's right. Always
that's what a lot of people think. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't say the Pledge of Allegiance, you're a commie pinko, and you don't love America, and all, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and they probably think I'm a commie pinko for a lot of other things that I say too and think. Anyway, what do you think about the Pledge?
Well, did the Founding Fathers ever say the Pledge of Allegiance?
Not as far as I know. As far as I know, the Pledge of Allegiance came in, especially with the idea of an indivisible, a one nation under God, indivisible. That came up as a Reconstruction Act, where you could not ever divide the United States, which became capital U, capital S, United States. We simply have to continue on with a unified body of states, with the federal government being central in force, and that pledge was basically a northern peace.
From what I read, apparently it was a Baptist socialist who came up with with the pledge.
Did he really?
Which I haven't heard of a Baptist socialist before, but yeah, that's what I read on the internet, so it must be true.
Well, yeah, was he a Yankee or a Confederate?
What do you think?
I'm guessing he was a Yankee.
I think so.
Okay. Well, you never can trust Yankees generally, but if they're Baptist Socialist Yankees, then we really got a problem with them. Oh, okay. Well, at any rate, the Institute on the Constitution, we discussed this great issue. Sounds like both Richie and I are in agreement on not saying the pledge, and people will consider us pinko commies, perhaps, but be that as it may, we have our reasons on Christian Worldview why we would not want to say the pledge. Oh, by the way, I was chided last night by the administrators at the Institute for the Constitution. I must apologize to you. I've been telling you can get there at 6:30 for informalities and 7 o'clock for the actual program to begin. In actuality, if I tell people to get there at 7, they show up at 7:30 or 7:15. So the whole goal is for me to continue to tell you to get there at 6:30 so that they can actually start on time. So I'm going to repent of my doings yesterday and make sure from now on that I tell you that you must be there at 6:30 for the beginning of this program. But also to tell you, if you really have trouble getting there from Greenville because of work and family commitments, don't worry about showing up late. They will allow you in the door, even if you're a late comer. At any rate, be sure to go to the Institute on the Constitution. Just topics like the Pledge of Allegiance are things that we consider there, and they are of interest to us as Christians and also to those who love liberty.
Well, let's think about what the pledge says. First of all, it's pledging allegiance to a flag, which seems a bit odd. And the flag just represents something that you should have allegiance to?
I guess it depends how pretty the flag is. I don't know. What is it, the material? Is it silky? Or, you know, what's the point?
Yeah, which it seems kind of strange if you think about it. I was looking at this message board, and somebody said that they don't pledge allegiance and don't allow their kids to, and they feel it's a violation of the First Commandment.
Why?
And this person says that he loves liberty, loves America, and all that. But he expressed why he felt it was wrong to pledge allegiance, and that it was, that your allegiance should be to Christ. And then someone else posted and said, hey, if you don't like, don't say, I'll just kick your hippie blank if you are standing next to me when you refuse to say it. So that was, this is a, I'm sure, great patriotic gentleman who would make this statement.
Yeah, so he's really going to threaten us.
You think about what it means. If you were to pledge allegiance to the flag, you would be saying that you respect the fact that the flag represents freedom, which would be freedom to not say the pledge if you don't want to.
You would think so.
And so for someone to threaten physical harm against someone, you know, that actually means that they don't really have allegiance to the flag, even though they say they do, which means they're a hypocrite by saying it themselves.
And that brings up the whole thing of desecration of the flag. What about burning the flag? When I was a young man, I went to the National Park Service meeting somewhere in Yosemite, and they actually had a flag burning ceremony. Caused several people in the audience to freak out. And a guy read the United States Code, whatever it was, chapter and verse, basically, and said, the only way to get rid of an old, nasty flag is to burn it. You're not supposed to throw it in the garbage. You're actually supposed to destroy it with fire.
That's true.
But these people thought in the audience, oh, you're desecrating the flag. They literally freaked out, even though the park ranger, who not necessarily a conservative, in fact, judging from his long hair, earrings, and all that back in the 70s, you probably would have figured he was not a social conservative, and yet he was still burning the flag. And then there was another guy next to him who was a social conservative by all appearance, or whatever that's worth. And they were going on following the code. Well, we need to talk more about this subject when we come back. I want to talk about the whole issue of fealty and allegiance and what it means in history. But we're going to take a quick break here. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and a guest host, Rippin' Richie Williams. And we'll be right back.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And the name of the show is Christian Worldview. We're live from 7:30 to 9 o'clock weekday mornings, and then you'll hear repeats during the day. So if it's between 7:30 and 9 o'clock a.m. on a weekday, we are live, which is kind of scary. Here's Dr. John Coben.
And we welcome you back. We're talking about this very, maybe I've got a frog in my throat. We're trying to talk about the Pledge of Allegiance this morning. There's some interesting issues we brought up philosophically about the whole idea of a pledge. The original idea of allegiance goes back to feudal times when, you remember, you had independent people basically living in a state of anarchy with no formal state, no government over them at all, in England and perhaps in other places in Europe. And marauding bands of Vikings or whoever it was would come through and attack people. And in order to alleviate this, there was a common defense started by these individuals who were being ransacked going to the local lord of the manor, the biggest guy on the block, basically, who had the biggest forces for resistance, who was often left alone by the marauders because it wasn't the path of least resistance, going to him and saying, look, let's make a deal. I'll swear an oath of fealty to you, to be aligned to you, to be my liege lord. I'll have allegiance to you. And I'll pay you some tax money, what was called a fee. I'll give you some, if it wasn't money, it was actually some crops. And in exchange for my service to you, I'll even be in the military and go fight for you. In exchange for that protection you give me, and that I will help provide by being in the Army, I'm going to give you, the tax money. So there was a exchange going on, and the allegiance was to an earthly lord for protection. Well, can we have that same kind of allegiance to the United States of America as a nation, as a country, as a political entity, as Christians? I argue that you can't, because our only allegiance is to the Lord. It doesn't mean we're unpatriotic or we don't like the vision of the founding fathers. It means that to pledge allegiance to the flag in the sense of that fealty oath is perhaps a violation of the first commandment or the second commandment. What do you think about that?
It's definitely something to think about, and something I haven't spent a whole lot of time thinking about. I mean, you're raised to believe that if you're a good American, you say the Pledge of Allegiance. And like I said, unless you're a commie pinko. But it's definitely something worth considering. What about taking an oath to uphold the Constitution?
Well, taking an oath is different than pledging allegiance.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I would say it's fine to take an oath to uphold the Constitution, which is what, of course, the military and the politicians do that, but they're, of course, they don't mean it. But that's something different.
Yes, apparently not. An oath is simply a solemn promise or a vow, in a sense, that you are going to do something. It's an extra special emphasis on I'm going to keep my word. And of course, we see that presidents of the United States and others who are vowed to uphold the Constitution simply do not do so.
No, certainly not.
Well, interesting. We want to talk more about this thing, or we want to maybe some call. We usually don't have too many callers listening this early in the morning. For some reason, in Greenville, either people are already at work or they sleep until about 8:15, and then they start listening to Christian Worldview and calling in. So, if you're one of those who are awake at this hour and you're interested in talking about the Pledge of Allegiance, do give us a call at 864-244-8177. And if that line gives you some trouble and you can't get through, try our alternate line, which is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955.
Please don't threaten to beat us up, though.
Even if we're considered commie pinkos this morning. I don't think I'm a commie pinko.
No, I would dare say that we're a lot less communist than the people who would threaten physical harm to those who don't say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, that sounds like a good point. Well, although communists are pretty good at being totalitarian and leftists, so I would say, yeah, they probably are far more communist than we are, especially since we hold to free markets and the vision of the founders here at Christian Worldview. Well, here's something interesting that came up in the news this morning. We've invaded their temple. Humanists are on notice. We're taking dinosaurs back. This is an article written by Ken Ham, the president of AIG USA. It was published on Answers Update USA in May 2005. Almost every time there's news in the secular press about Answers in Genesis, that's the AIG, by the way, the reporter will mock the fact that we believe dinosaurs and humans have lived at the same time. Indeed, evolutionists absolutely hate it when AIG uses dinosaurs to proclaim the falsity of the idea of evolution and the truth of the history of Genesis. Nearly every secular reporter who visits the AIG Creation Museum, did you know there was one? It's under construction in west of Cincinnati. That's only about a five-hour drive from Greenville. We could make some field trips from South Carolina up to Cincinnati to see that. Maybe taking a Reds game while we're there. Why not visit the stadium? Anyway, it seems perplexed as to why we're, at least the reporters seem perplexed as to why we're including dinosaurs, and they often express amazement that we could even dare to do so. And so when their TV or newspaper report comes out, there it is again, a mocking statement about dinosaurs and humans together. Children and adults alike are fascinated by these creatures. Unfortunately, most people equate dinosaurs with millions of years in the evolution belief system. Dinosaurs have become almost icons for evolutionary teaching. They're treated as sacred gods that belong only to evolutionists for the purpose of indoctrinating generations in secular humanism. That's an interesting story, isn't it? Did you know they were going to build a creation museum west of Cincinnati?
Oh, they've been talking about that for years. Yeah, I've been following Ken Ham for a long time, and that's been their plan for quite some time now.
Huh. Do you know more about it other than the struggles? I hadn't heard about it till today.
I just know they want to do it right. It's supposed to be a really fancy, a nice informative place.
Are they going to have some of these big fossilized creatures too and so forth in there? Is that the plan? Is that, when I say a museum, they're actually going to have the same things that other folks have in the secular world.
Right. I'm sure the goal would be to help kids learn, you know, about creation. So it'd be, you know, real heavy on the science side of it.
Yeah, I just wonder where they get a big fossil of a dinosaur. You know, you ever go to these museums like in Chicago or New York or L.A. especially, they got these enormous dinosaur skeletons. You know, the thing that, especially the Tyrannosaurus Rex, it might be, I don't know, 60 feet long, maybe. Maybe exaggerating.
Those things were huge.
Yeah. Is that the Brontosaurus is that big, maybe. Maybe the Tyrannosaurus Rex is only 20 feet long, but they're big statues or skeletons. I wonder if they've got some of those things.
I'd be surprised if they had access, but they could you know, make big paper mache or something.
Oh, okay. So they can use fake. Or they can use replicas, fake ones.
I would imagine. I'd be surprised if they had access to that many real dinosaur bones. They're not that easy to come by.
Well, from a Christian worldview perspective, we're very pleased that they've got this this going on, this creation museum, because it is a pain to have to go to these other museums, see the stuff, and constantly be telling your kids, look, it says that these things lived millions of years ago, but we have evidence that they really lived when human beings walked the earth, and so they're a bunch of liars. But you can still look at the bones at any rate and take some interest in it. It's sort of like trying to take them to a public school and then re-indoctrinate them, although you do have a better chance of doing that at a museum than spending 35 hours a week at the Government Indoctrination Center and trying to give them 30 minutes a week of detox or something. It doesn't work very well. Well, believe it or not, we come up against another break time at Christian Worldview. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Just how hard do you have to hurl something to make it get splat? Well, that's what we try to do here.
Depends on what it is.
Yeah, if it's liberalism, it's got to be a pretty soft gelatin kind of, or jello-ish sort of concoction. I mean, obviously, liberals don't think very deeply on most issues, even the unsaved ones.
They think with their heart.
Is that what it is? No wonder it's all soft and gushy. Anyway, we've got an email from Chuck this morning. He says, "Hi, John and Richie. It's great to have Richie joining the show and to hear your rapport on the air. Listeners may not be aware that Richie is years younger than John and has a very different style on his own. He doesn't look that much younger than me, does he, Dan? What do you think, Daniel? Does he look younger than me? Oh, see, he's trying to claim I'm an old man. These kids keep telling me I have gray hair, too, believe it or not. I don't agree. Every time I go to the barber, they're all cut out. They have none left. Anyway, it says, listeners may not know where Richie is years younger than John and has a very different style in his own show. But the differences are small compared to the common themes of Christ's redemption and our love for liberty. You talk some about property taxes and a lodial title. Is this kind of title available in South Carolina? Is it hard to get? A couple of anecdotes. I have friends in New Jersey whose house is about 3,000 square feet, paying over $10,000 per year in property tax. In New Jersey, they pay $10,000 a year in property tax?
That's insane.
They ought to abandon the state. Forget it. And my own tax, roughly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, why would anybody want to live in New Jersey at any rate? And then to pay that kind of money to rent your for your privilege is bizarre. Anyway, it says, and my own tax roughly doubled recently to $4,400 for a similar house in South Carolina. That's still an awful lot. Is completely out of control. Listeners wanting to petition against the property tax may visit www.stoptax.org to find out how. Many South Carolinians, while hating this tax, cannot conceive of an alternative to publicly funded education. You are doing great work in educating us to the superior alternatives. Enjoying your show, Chuck. Well, I really appreciate the comments, Chuck, for bringing those data up to us, and we want to talk about this allodial title thing once again. However, before we do, and we also appreciate the comments, don't we, Richie, and his nice comments about you being on the show and being younger than me and all that kind of stuff.
Thank you very much.
Yes. But before we get to that, we have a caller on the line. We'd like to welcome you to the show. Who am I speaking to this morning? Hello, do we have a caller on the line?
Technical difficulties, please stand by. We're working
well,
with our...
It looks like we've lost our caller. Listen, if you were just calling into the show, we're not sure who was there. Call back on the other line, which is 864-244-8177, 864-244-8177, and we'll try to get you on the air. Sorry about that. Well, while he's calling back, let's go ahead and, if you don't mind, Richie,
I don't mind.
Okay, let's indulge me for a minute. Since he brought up, he said you talked about property taxes and allodial title, and you know. Who was the one that asked me what an allodial title was yesterday?
That's yesterday. I said, what is a rodeo title?
A rodeo title. That's right. That sounds like a Chinese pronunciation. You ever been to, that's the opposite of a Chinese. You know, they do the same thing in Spanish, by the way. They can't say the word arroz. They say alos. Arroz is the Spanish word for rice. And in English, they say lice, right? They don't say rice.
Goodness. That's scary.
Well, we have our caller back on the air again.
Let's try it again.
We're going to see if we can't get him on the air. Welcome to Christian Worldview. Who am I speaking to?
You're on the air.
You're on the air.
Okay. Oh, hey, Dr. Coben. I was just basically calling about the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag issue and how it just seems kind of empty to pledge allegiance to the flag. I mean, a flag in itself is a little... as you mentioned earlier in the show.
Okay, well, we broke up a little bit there on that call, but I think what you're saying is you think pledging allegiance to the flag is kind of ridiculous in it because it's an empty symbol. Is that the right idea?
Yes.
Well, what do you think about that, Richie?
Well, that's what I mentioned earlier, that I don't understand pledging allegiance to a flag, maybe what the flag represents, but the flag itself... That seems a bit strange. The only inanimate object that I would pledge allegiance to might be the Bible, but not the flag, I don't think.
Yeah, even pledging it to the Bible is a little bit problematic because our faith is not actually in the pages of a book. It's not the material object. It's in the words it contains.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So it is strange. I agree. What's your name, by the way, on the line? I didn't catch your name.
Quest.
Oh, good. I think I know a Quest here in Greenville. Well,
Yes, sir.
Well, good. Well, I certainly appreciate you calling this morning. Sorry we had the technical difficulties with getting you on the air, but I agree with you entirely. I don't see why we, especially who love liberty, who would love, who are Christians in particular, would want to pledge allegiance to a flag. But even if you're not a Christian, what do you think, Rich? Even if you're not a Christian, you're just somebody who appreciates the vision of the founding fathers. Why would you want to pledge some allegiance to a piece of cloth?
Well, like I said, I don't understand it unless you're supposed to infer that they mean you're pledging allegiance to America or what America stands for. But then we have the question of is your allegiance to the Constitution or is your allegiance to the current group of criminal politicians? And that's what you have to ask yourself, because some people would equate the allegiance with being to the current group of politicians, no matter how much they have rejected and trashed the Constitution.
Well, you're certainly not going to find the tyranny response using unit pledging any allegiance to some politician. Or they're equivalent to a band of thugs, as far as I'm concerned, robbing and pillaging. So, Quest, we really appreciate the call. It's been a great call this morning. We're coming up against a quick break here on Christian Worldview. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. The weather in upstate South Carolina today is right in the low 60s and going to get up to around, maybe 80 degrees this afternoon. But we got thunderstorm activity even now. Some parts of the upstate, and supposedly by later in the day, almost everywhere is going to have experienced some thunderstorm activity. So be prepared for that as you make your way out to work today. Again, glad you've joined us on the show that helps you think better. We're not just like any other talking head show. We're a show that actually encourages you to think better. And right now, we have a caller on the line. We'd like to welcome Leslie to the program. Thanks for calling this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just one clarification and then a question, and then I'm going to hang up and let you answer. The clarification is about just the history of the Pledge of Allegiance. It was written in 1892 by Francis Bellamy, this is on the internet, who was a socialist, as described. He was an ex-Baptist pastor. He was asked to leave his church, and he was excommunicated in some ways for his socialist policies. He then he initially wrote the flag, the Pledge of Allegiance, as to my flag, not to the flag, and to my flag and republic. And then the Daughters of the American Revolution and the American Legion changed it to say the flag and to the republic. And then the in the Cold War era, or 1940s, whatever, the Knights of Columbus asked it to be changed to under God. So that's just the history of that. And then I have a question. You stated allegiance came from Middle England, which is true. Allegiance, by its definition, means loyalty, or if you look up under Merriam-Webster. You stated that people would swear loyalty to a liege lord or fealty to a liege lord for protection, and they would pay tax. Why is that any different to swearing loyalty to a government and then paying tax for the protection? And that's my question. Thanks.
Okay, appreciate that. Do you want to take a stab at that first, Richie?
Oh, let's see. The founding fathers took their oath to uphold the Constitution, but their belief was in not just a state and not even just a government. Their belief was in these principles of freedom and liberty, and I think the founding fathers would hesitate to pledge allegiance to the nation with the government as it is now. So is your allegiance really to a particular state, or is it to the principles that are found in the Declaration of Independence?
Well, that's a great point. I think it might even go a little further than that. The government was our creation as we the people. We didn't. The government was not ever our master as something we would pledge allegiance to or fealty to in the sense of a feudal idea of allegiance that she was just bringing up. And what we had was government being our creature in order to help us do certain things we couldn't do on our own very well, such as provide national defense or a common defense, the general welfare being promoted in the sense of making sure people have well-being, being protected from predators, and to continue the blessings of liberty unimpeded by any aggressors, criminals that might come our way without bringing them to justice. So we need a criminal justice system. So the government was designed to help us do things collectively we could not do well for ourselves. It was our servant in a sense, and therefore by definition we could not express an oath of fealty or allegiance to it. It's very odd that things have changed, obviously, and ever since old Abraham Lincoln was on the scene, we had the denigration of this principle of liberty. And it doesn't surprise me this came out around 1892 by this person who'd been indoctrinated with these perverse ideas.
Yeah, and once again, is our allegiance to the principles of the Declaration of Independence or to a particular state, no matter what that state has become? And, we think that, or we're told that, being a good American means you obey the law and pay your taxes. By that standard, founding fathers, they weren't patriotic, were they?
Not by that standard at all. No, not in fact. Thomas Jefferson was so unpatriotic. Remember, he said in one of his letters that he believed that a little revolution, like every 20 years, was necessary for the maintenance of the republic. We needed to be, because government tended to become so corrupt and power mongers so influential so quickly that we needed to constantly throw the bums out, either kill them or toss them out of office and make it on our way. At any rate, this is an interesting topic. Glad we had the call about the Pledge of Allegiance, and we're happy that some of you guys are thinking a little bit deeper about an issue that isn't just commonly brought up on the talking with the talking heads, is it? Stuff on Christian Worldview you hear. What a surprise. We have a couple of announcements Rich wants to make before we go to our first break. And go ahead. What are those important announcements?
Yes, we've got one from the Libertarian Party. They ask, are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting Libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they're regular people, like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. The Libertarian Business Meeting is at 6:30 p.m., the first Wednesday of the month, at Prime Sirloin Buffet on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join the Libertarians for the meetup at 7 p.m., the fourth Wednesday of the month, at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would like to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government, and we thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And we've got, of course, today is the Confederate Memorial Day ceremony at the campus of Clemson University. Please tell everyone you can to come out in observance of this day to honor our Confederate ancestors who paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of their families and their beloved Southland. Service will be held today at Tillman Hall, that's at Clemson, 10 o'clock a.m. All are invited. For more information, please call 864-944-1895. That's 864-944-1895.
Appreciate that. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and guest host, Rip and Richie Williams. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
H.L. Mencken, of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're providing a little bit of roughage for your brain this morning, talking about the Pledge of Allegiance and allodial property rights. Well, just to make one further comment on the Pledge of Allegiance, and again, if you want to call in and talk more about the pledge, we're happy to do so this morning. She said she was the caller indicated that there was this strong parallel between the old oath of fealty in the feudal system with the Pledge of Allegiance. And I'd said that earlier, too. I agree that there is a strong sense in which the Pledge of Allegiance makes the American person who says the pledge a tantamount and equivalent to a feudal slave, because it's using the same kind of language, the same sort of idea that there is something that the flag stands for, and by pledging allegiance to it, we're pledging oath as a serf would to his liege lord or to his master. And this is, I think, is problematic. We cannot, as Christians, have this kind of allegiance to anyone but Christ, and obviously to the church and his kingdom, or to the word of God, as Richie pointed out, I suppose you could say. There'd be some religious connotation that would be okay, but beyond that, we cannot pledge this kind of allegiance to any earthly man, and therefore it's problematic.
Yeah, I think you have a good point, John.
Okay, well,
something that Christians should think about instead of just blindly following whatever traditions they were brought up with. We need to think about what's behind all this stuff.
Well, one thing no one has ever accused us here in any response, you know, to blindly following after anybody for anything. We think for ourselves here, and we're trying to help you do the same thing. We do not simply want to follow along the Pied Piper, whether it be the Republican Party or some so-called conservative philosopher. We need to make sure that what we're doing is the right thing in all cases. Now, I want to shift gears and go to this other topic, this issue of the allodial land titles. We had Chuck writing in an email asking, you know, can we still get these things in South Carolina? This is a very important topic. You know, and people in New Jersey are paying $10,000 a year in property taxes, and he said his house was $4,400 a year. That's outrageous, and it's getting out of control. Well, the point of the matter is, you know, it is out of control, but allodial land titles are not available, or at least not readily available for individuals. Although there was mention of allodialism by the founding fathers, like Jefferson and Adams had some correspondence back and forth about it, as well as a number of state constitutions wanting to secure that, actually wrote it into the Constitution, or some of the case law actually talks about allodialism. This stuff is all antebellum for the most part. We don't have mention of allodialism in a good light, especially since the mid-1960s. But even after the reign of terror under Abraham Lincoln, we saw the Confiscation Act and the Confiscation Act, or the Second Confiscation Act, both of those things passed by his nefarious Congress, where the federal government would just raid Southerners and steal their land, make it impossible for them to pay some paltry tax and therefore get some decree to be able to steal it. This frequently happened, and allodialism, for whatever form it had in the United States, ended at the war between the states because of Lincoln's aggression. Even in the North, it ended. Now, you can say, well, what is an allodial title? Well, some people might not have been listening yesterday to the show. An allodial title is a title to real property or land and buildings and things that are attached to the land, like crops, that you own absolutely without regard to any liege lord, with no allegiance to anybody. It's a title where you do not have to be regulated by anybody in what you do with your property, and you do not have any obligation to pay taxes on it. So it's free of regulation, free of property taxes. The only people who are allodiaries are the people who have conquered the land and able to hold it in a sovereign position. And that means that the whole world is indeed full of allodial land. There isn't a bit of land that's really truly not held in allodial form by somebody. Well, in the old days, in colonial times, the king held all land allodially. And when we got rid of the king, King George III, we all became allodiaries. Each state, in a sense, doled out or gave the allodial rights to the citizens who owned the pieces of property. And at least in a quasi-allodial form for many years, that we had that sort of system. But since Lincoln, we've had the reversion to the feudal system, where we actually have the state governments being called Lord Paramount, Lord of the Soil. If you read some of the court cases, I remember Dunn versus Dunn in Colorado stands out in mind. That's an 1877 case. We have the states now becoming the feudal lords, the liege lords we owe allegiance to, and we show our allegiance to the state by paying it property taxes and by abiding by its regulation. As soon as we don't pay what it wants us to, it takes away its land, and we no longer have the privilege to use and possess it. We never really owned it to begin with. We, as feudal serfs, simply have the privileges to use and possess it, nothing more. So the only way you can get an allodial title is not to ask for the government to grant you anything, like a land grant or a land patent, but instead to get a declaratory judgment from a court saying, yes, this is a sovereign land, it's allodial. or conquer the United States government or the state government that's the current Allodi area on it and just take it over, much as William the Conqueror took over the Allodian lands in England in 1066. You can purchase it from the federal government, much as Jefferson purchased from Napoleon the Louisiana Territory and Louisiana Purchase Territory, and became the Allodi area. It was transferred from one to the next. So we ended up, you end up having three ways you can become an Allodi area. Those are the three ways. You can't do it by any other means, unfortunately, and you are a slave. How do you like that, folks? Did you know that you're a slave because you're no different than any feudal serf that tried to use and possess his land back in the feudal period? There is no difference. I'm not the first to say it. Read historians like Jonathan Hughes or many others who've made the same kind of comments. We live in a feudal society where the state has become the lord paramount and the liege lord, and you just use and possess its property for them. Isn't it nice that you improve your property for them, too? Every time you go out and do a home building project, the government's thanking you for improving its property. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, guest host with Richie Williams. When we come back from this break, I think Rip and Richie's going to have the thinking cap on and going to have a few comments about allodial titles. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And some of you might know who Nikita Khrushchev is, or was, the great one of the Russian totalitarian state leaders. There's a quotation from him, which our research staff sent up today, and before we get to Rip and Richie and his comments on allodial title. Khrushchev says, "If you think your collectivist system is ever going to equal the private enterprise system in truth, freedom, or prosperity, comrade, you can wait till shrimp learn to whistle." We got to put that on our website. That's a very good quote.
Nikita Khrushchev. I thought he was a professional wrestler.
Well, it could be. Maybe he came back in a second event.
There's Nikita. I remember back in the 80s when I was a teenager, I'd watch professional wrestling. They had the bad guys would always be pertinent to whatever situation was going on. So during the Cold War, you had these. They had Nikita something, big huge bald guy. from Russia and spoke with a Russian accent, and found out later he's from Iowa.
Oh.
So, yeah. Anyway, Dr. John Coben, I believe you're an extremist wacko because you said that we're slaves here in America, which is the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Knave.
That's what many people would be thinking. But I would encourage you to think about this. What is the difference? I'm talking about property tax. What is the difference between a property tax and rent?
Property tax is an involuntary, coercive arrangement. Rent is something that you voluntarily arrange for yourselves by contract. It's a huge difference.
Well, you voluntarily buy the land. My point is, if there's no difference between, in other words, when I'm renting an apartment, if I don't pay my rent, what happens?
You violate the contract and you're out.
I'm out. They kick me out.
Right.
If you don't pay your property tax, what happens?
You're out.
How is it any different? I mean, in fact, you're renting your land from the government.
That's right.
You do not own it.
Correct.
How can anyone argue with that?
Well, I don't know if they can. I don't know if they even try. You use and you have a privilege of use and possession. You don't have an allodial title.
I mean, there's people who have farms that have been passed down through through generations, and if they come up on hard times at some point, and they can lose their property from their great-great-grandfather.
We need to change the words we use. It's not their property.
They'd lose the property they thought was theirs.
They'd lose the property they've been deceived into believing was theirs all this time, when in fact the feudal lord, the liege lord, can take it away anytime he wants to.
Now, you can get some kind of exemption if you're a church or something like that. Is that correct?
That's right. And so the feudal lord does see some need for alleviating property tax, but they still have to abide by regulations. So if they stop abiding by the regulations, whatever they might be, hate speech or whoever else comes down the pike, they can still lose the property even if you're a church.
Well, I knew a pastor in New York who built a rather nice log home for himself, and I asked him if he was going to put it make it church property or what. He said, "There's no way I could afford property tax on a place like this. It has to be, under the church."
Yeah, well, and that's wise. That's a wise choice. Anything you can do to reduce the amount of theft that you are subjected to and plunder in this life is worthwhile doing, it seems to me. And if you can do something to get the property tax down, then go for it.
Absolutely. Well, I like to hear more people talk about the idea of property tax. Do our brave Republicans, do they spend that much time dealing with that issue?
Property Republicans, the ones that are still left in the party, are growing in ignorance because the intelligent ones are moving out and either be going to the Libertarian Party or the Constitution Party. There's just no way you can stay in the Republican Party, I don't think, and hope for reform.
Well, it's been pretty sad. You think it's bad here? You just seen what it's like in New York.
Man, what is it like in New York? The state of Rodham.
Yeah, it was. They were pretty liberal up there.
Yeah. Well, California Republicans tend to be the same way. You look at Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the guy is a neocon. He's an anti-gun. You'd think the Terminator would not be anti-gun, but he is anti-gun. He's pro-abortion. He's not our man.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Arnold, I actually do a website for our organization about Arnold, and it's bornhere.org, and it's doing it for some people that want to keep us from amending the Constitution to allow foreigners to run for president, bornhere.org.
Huh, interesting.
What's next?
What's next? Well, let's see. We have a couple of other interesting, I suppose, comments we can make about the Russians these days. For instance, our research staff wanted to let us know that George W. Bush and Putin, President Vladimir Putin, yesterday buried the hatchet. I don't know. Hopefully in Condoleezza Rice or somebody useful. That's mean. I shouldn't have said that. I mean, I'm a Christian, and I don't mean to think badly about any of these people, even though they do evil things. God tells me to pray for my enemies, and I do that. At any rate, they buried the hatchet somewhere, Putin and Bush. They had wielded so much of it last week, pledging to work together for the world's most pressing problems. Mr. Bush, one of more than 50 world leaders Weeders, huh? Hmm. who will meet in Russian capital today, commemorate the 60th anniversary of World War II in Europe. Yesterday reminded Europeans of the U.S. role as liberator in a brief speech at a U.S. military cemetery in the Netherlands. It's so nice to see George W. Bush getting along with the Russians better these days, you know, especially when the Russians are, you know, Putin was just lamenting the fall of the USSR recently and how there were glorious days under the communists and so forth. It's nice to know Bush is showing a little bit of his true colors and aligning himself with this guy.
Well, someone said that Bush let him have it or something, or criticized him. I don't know. I haven't paid attention to it the past 2 days.
Okay. Well, I hadn't seen it until now, at any rate, myself. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour and another quick break here. We'll be back on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and guest host Rippin' Richie Williams in just a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back into Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Currently in the upstate, we have about 62 to 64 degrees, depending on where you're located. Some people have some sun, some people have some clouds. Going to be some thunderstorm activities in the area, activity in the area today, so be prepared for that as you make your way out to work this morning. The high should be in the upper 70s. Some places might get into the lower 80s Otherwise, well, it should be a pretty nice day temperature-wise in the upstate just to prepare for the thunderstorm activities. Richie has a few announcements for us, and then we're going to talk about some other interesting things like the PPIC.
Today is the Confederate Memorial Day ceremony on the campus of Clemson University. Please tell everyone you can to come out in observance of this day to honor our Confederate ancestors who paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of their families and their beloved South. Service will be held at Tillman Hall, 10 o'clock a.m. That's today, May 10th. All are invited to attend. For more information, please call 944-1895. That's in the 864 area code, 944-1895. And for the Libertarian Party, we have this. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting Libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other Libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. The Libertarian Business Meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the first Wednesday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join the Libertarians for the meetup at 7 p.m. the fourth Wednesday of the month at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. They'd love to swap ideas with you for restoring a limited constitutional government. The Libertarian Party thanks you for supporting them and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Now, it may interest you to know that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called First Freedom, and a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if you're interested. That's 642-4315. You can also sample this fine paper's material at gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off.
And we appreciate those announcements. You know, we love to recognize our friends and the supporters here on the Christian Worldview, and the Libertarian Party has been one, as well as some of the Patriot organizations. Also want to mention to you the Political Cesspool. They once again have invited me, the Tyranny Response Unit, to be back on their show with James Edwards. The politicalcesspool.org is the South's foremost populist radio program. That's what they say out of Memphis, Tennessee. And we're very happy to be aligned with these folks. They're a good group of people. Check out the politicalcesspool.org on the net. You'll be glad you did. Also want to give a quick plug for the Times Examiner. I know they were up late last night publishing, as I talked to Bob Dill on the phone late last night, having a little bit of a computer problem, but I think they got the paper out. You can reach Bob Dill at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at